Well, good morning, and welcome to Bowmanville this morning. I'd like to welcome any guests or visitors who are worshiping with us, as well as those worshiping with us on the live stream. I want to give you this special invitation this morning from John 7:37. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink." Are you thirsty for more of the Lord this morning? Come and receive from him. Also received a message this morning about Brian Martin. He went back to the hospital because he wasn't feeling well. And the doctor said they found some pneumonia spots on his lungs, and they're hopeful that COVID will be over shortly and that it'll take a little bit of time for his lungs to heal. So when I pray, we're going to pray for Brian. You can continually pray for him in the next coming days as he continues to heal from COVID. So will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, we are here to praise and worship you, the one true God. We are thirsty for more of you. Come and pour out your Spirit on us this morning. Reveal more of who you are. Show us how much you love us. Just thank you, Father, for the great mercy that you give us each day. Thank you for Jesus, so that we may have a way to you, Father. Father, I just pray that you touch Brian's body, bring healing to him, bring a quick recovery, restore him to complete health. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Oh, I invite you to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
There was a mercy in your eyes.
morning, if you didn't get a chance to put your offering up here, you can do so during the next song. This morning's offering is for youth ministries, and we are also doing the My Coins Count for the kids again.
Let us pray. Father, it is good that your goodness is running after us. Father, I know in my life that when I was not seeking you, you were seeking my goodness. And I just thank you for all of those here that know you in a deep and personal way. And I've been saved because of the blood of Jesus Christ, your precious Son. Father, we want to take this day as another opportunity to thank you for the blessings and the goodness that you brought into our lives. And I just pray that you also encourage us to help others to see your goodness, your love, your truth, and how you sent your Son here to die in their place so that they can be with you forever. But Father, we also rejoice for all the goodness that you brought to us. You've given us our life, our health, our breath, and blessings of time and possessions, and we just simply turn back a portion of that to you for the work of the church, the youth ministries, and I pray that you be with Pastor Tony today as he shares with us your truth. Thank you again for this time and for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
Well, it's time for our children's message. I'd like to invite the children to come forward. So I need a volunteer to open that box. Paige, why don't you come up here and open. Now, Don't shake it too much because you don't want to scare what's inside of it. So I'm going to move back a little bit while you open the box. That is a very strong box. Let me help you a little bit. So what's in there? Yeah, it's nothing scary. It's just paper airplanes. I wouldn't put like a skunk or anything in there. So you can go sit down again, Paige. And, actually, you can be the first person. You can pick one of those out and throw it that direction to see how high and far you can get it to throw. The rest of you can do it, too. We'll do it one at a time. There's a bunch in there. Are you going to throw it from up there? All right, go ahead. Here, right like this. You hold it like this. Hold it right there, under bottom. Now throw it. See one a little bit. Who wants to? You guys don't have to raise your hand. You can just get up and grab one out of the box. Just let one at a time throw them that way. And hey, why don't you? Yeah, you can have one. I have enough for everybody in here. So here, why don't you? Can you throw it? That is awesome energy. I love it. Ooh. So after you throw one, you can go sit down. After you throw it, you can go sit down. Just throw it one time. There's two in there. Throw it that way. Go ahead. If you threw one already, please go sit down. You can take the airplane with you. That was a good throw. See, that one kind of... was gliding all the way over there. Are you going to throw it? Ooh, that was a good one. Can you get your airplane and go sit down now? Yeah, you can keep them if you want. See, it's good to have a little fun in church on a Sunday morning. So, those airplanes flew just a little bit, right? You threw them really hard and they went a little bit and they would glide a little bit. But can you think of some things that stay up in the air a long time? Balloons, yeah. What else stay up in the air a long time? Planes, yes. What else? Helicopter. Yeah, they stay up there a while till they run out of fuel. Birds, yes. Clouds, yes, clouds do stay up in the air a long time. I didn't think of clouds. So, this morning, I want you to think about birds a little bit. Yeah, there's bald eagle right there. That's a condor. That's just a turkey buzzard. And there's a hawk. So, those are some different birds. But we are going to focus on the eagle today. What? Yeah, they fly really high. So does anybody know how long the wings of an eagle are?
I know.
How long? Nah, that's a little too big. You're close. Seven. Very good. A mature eagle can get up to 7 feet. Now, I need two more volunteers to help me up here. Let's see. I'm trying to remember your name. I don't remember. Dylan. Come up here. And Jansen, come up here. So, I brought my eagle along. So, someone go over here. Okay, it's not really an eagle, but go stand over here. Take this wing. And we're going to stretch this out. And Jansen, why don't you come over here? And stretch that out. See? That's about how big a mature eagle will get. That's pretty big. I mean, that's bigger than I can reach. Just gives you an idea how big an eagle's wings actually are. All right, you guys can go sit down. Thank you for helping me. I'll put my eagle away. I forgot about it and I made it quickly this morning, so it's not colored very well, is it? Did you know an eagle can soar anywhere from 2 to 4 hours? Now, some of the other birds can soar longer. Did you also know that the eagle, their eyes are so good that they can see 4 to 5 times better than we can? That's like 20/20 is considered good for us. An eagle would have like 24 vision. How far away do you think an eagle can see a rabbit? Little old bunny. How far away do you think it could see it? Seven miles? That's a little far. Alicia has it correct. Up to 2 miles away, an eagle can see a bunny sitting on the ground. That's incredible vision. God makes these birds really amazing. I'm going to read Isaiah 40, verse 31. Listen to what it says. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. When you trust in God with your lives and you ask Him into your heart, He will lift you up. What does that mean? It means when we have things in our life that make you sad or something happens, God gives you strength and peace in our hearts. The peace we get from God is like the eagle soaring in the sky. He lifts us up so we don't feel as sad as we were before. We feel better. So I want you to remember, when you see a bird just soaring up in the sky, to remember that God cares about you and He will lift you up. You guys have been good participators this morning. You can have like 3 snacks because they're really teeny tiny. And you guys can... Wait. I got to pray for you guys first. You can have like 3 snacks. So you can stand where you are. Just close your eyes. Ready? I'm going to pray. Dear Jesus, I just thank you for these children. I pray that you will pour a blessing over them. And I just pray that they will remember that you lift them up and that you take care of them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, you can go back to your seats. Well, we got a lot of energy this morning. It also doesn't help that I gave them paper airplanes to throw. Well, good morning again. I would like to thank you for your prayers for my family and I as I prepared this message this week. Today's message is the second in the series that Pastor Larry started last week. Pastor Larry's message was the spiritual discipline of prayer, and that meshes together with our message this morning. It goes hand in hand with this message. And that message is the spiritual discipline of fasting. I had read and used this book as some reference material. There's many other books out there on fasting. This is the Atomic Power with God through Fasting and Prayer from Franklin Hall. It's a little dated, but it's the message that he has in here is very good, and it's still relevant today. The first thing that comes to mind when I say the word fasting, you think of eating nothing and just drinking water, right? But there's different kinds of fasts in the Bible and that we're going to look at. You may be thinking, why would you want to do that? Why would you want to fast? Well, there's many reasons. The very first thing you need to do before you look into fasting or thinking of doing a fast is determine what is your motivation. Why do you want to do this? Is it to get closer to God? Is it to show other people how spiritual you are? What can I gain from this? After looking at your motives, then you can look at other reasons to fast. In James 4:10, it says, "Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will exalt you." Fasting is a great way to humble yourself. You're saying to God, "You are worth more than this food that nourishes my body." This physical act is showing God you are serious about putting Him first. Fasting is a way to draw closer to God. It is strengthening your relationship with Him. So these are just a couple reasons to fast. We will be looking at some scripture this morning of different reasons people fasted. And we covered one this morning in Sunday school. Acts 13, verse 2. "As they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them.'" God made His will known. God was calling Barnabas and Saul to be set apart. This was revealed while His people were praying and fasting. So if we need guidance from God, we can fast and pray, waiting for His will to be revealed. Now, it might take a while because God's timing is perfect. You might think, "I just did all this fasting, but I still don't know Your will, God." Be patient. He will reveal His will to you. And again, this shows humbleness, coming before God, saying He is number one. Second Samuel 1, 11 and 12. "David took hold of his clothes and tore them, and all the men with him did the same. They mourned, wept, and fasted until evening for those who died by the sword, for Saul, his son Jonathan, the Lord's people, and the house of Israel." This was the reaction to the death of King Saul and his son Jonathan. David had a special relationship with Jonathan. Fasting is used as a way of showing love and respect and mourning to those who have died. This is a time to turn to God in prayer when you are fasting in this way, asking God to come and heal your broken heart and work in your life, saying that, "God, You are still number one." You may fast as a way to intercede for somebody. When someone is going through a test or a trial, you can fast and pray for them, holding them up before the throne of God. Once again, it's practicing humility, showing God that you have faith in Him, that He is going to help out in this situation. Isaiah 58:3-5. "Why have we fasted, but you have not seen? We have denied ourselves, but you have not noticed. Look, you do as you please on the day of your fast and oppress all your workers. You fast with contention and strife. You strike viciously with your fist. You cannot fast as you do today, hoping to make your voice heard on high. Will the fast I chose be like this? A day for a person to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes. Will you call this a fast and a day acceptable to the Lord?" These verses tell us of people who were fasting for wrong reasons. They were fasting to see what they could get out of it. They didn't change their hearts at all when they were fasting. Fasting and interceding for someone does this, what it says in verse 6. Isn't this the fast they chose to break the chains of wickedness, to untie the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, to tear off every yoke? Break the chains of wickedness. When we intercede for someone, we bring freedom to them. Our focus is not on ourselves, it is on others and God's ability to step in and help them. We are trusting in God. Jonah 3, after he was spit back up on land, 1-9, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, "Get up, go to the great city of Nineveh and preach the message that I tell you." Jonah got up and went to Nineveh according to the Lord's command. Now Nineveh was an extremely great city, a three-day walk. Jonah set out on the first day of his walk in the city and proclaimed, "In 40 days, Nineveh will be demolished." Then the people of Nineveh believed God. They proclaimed a fast and dressed in sackcloth from the greatest of them to the least. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, he got up from his throne, took off his royal robe, put on sackcloth, and sat in ashes. Then he issued a decree in Nineveh, "By order of the king and his nobles, no person or animal, herd or flock, is to taste anything at all. They must not eat or drink water. Furthermore, both people and animals must be covered with sackcloth." I'm going to stop there and share my thought of my mind. How interesting would that be to put sackcloth on animals? That's what's going through my mind when I'm reading that. And they're putting sackcloth on animals. Okay, now back to where I was. "And everyone must call out earnestly to God. Each must turn from his evil ways and from his wrongdoing. Who knows? God may turn and relent. He may turn from his burning anger so that we will not perish." The people of Nineveh fasted out of repentance. They turned from their evil ways. They repented. And they fasted so that God would turn his anger from them. And you read in verse 10 in chapter 3 that God saw their action and he saw their heart change and he did not bring disaster on that city. So you may fast for more than one of these reasons at the same time, and maybe even other reasons that I've shared this morning, because there are others. There's just a lot of information to cover in one morning. When we fast with the right motives, it is worship to God. When you are fasting with the right motives in your heart, you are truly worshiping God. So we're going to look at some different kinds of fasts in the Bible. I'm going to give you the scripture. I'm not going to read it all because there would be a lot. So I'm just going to paraphrase what's going on. I trust that you will dig into the scripture. You can write them down. Judah had been taken captive into Babylon. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel and his three friends, they stand up and say, "We will not eat this food. We are going to fast because we do not want to defile ourselves before God by eating this food dedicated to idols." So they ate vegetables and they drank water. They gave up all other delicacies that they could have eaten. They were eating food that was coming directly from the king's table. They ate vegetables and water, and they saw God honor their fast by making them look healthier and stronger than all the rest of the people in the group that they were in. Another kind of fast is found in Matthew 4. Matthew writes in the account of Jesus, who was fasting in the wilderness. Jesus did not eat for 40 days. He had water, but he did not have food. And this was not a supernatural fast. A supernatural fast would have been like Moses on Mount Sinai. in Exodus 34:28, Moses was in the presence of God. He was there for 40 days and 40 nights with no food and no water. And this is in contrast to where Jesus was. He was in the wilderness. Jesus fasted in the flesh. He went without food. Jesus had the Holy Spirit in him, just like we have the Holy Spirit in us. But he did not use the power of the Holy Spirit. Because if he did, it says that he was hungry at the end of 40 days. If he had used the power of the Holy Spirit and it was supernatural, he would not have been hungry. And part of that hunger was he was going to be tempted by Satan right after his fast. Then we go back to Daniel chapter 10, 1 to 3. Daniel limited what he ate. He didn't nourish his skin. He didn't put on oils. He drank water only and no wine. He fasted for 21 days, spending time in prayer. Some people say that this wasn't a fast, that it was only self-denial. But isn't that what a fast is, denying yourself? It wasn't a water-only fast, but it was a fast. And God honored Daniel for doing this. And there's other references to fasting in the Bible. There's quite a few. So what does fasting do for you? It humbles you. It removes the pride that we carry around. It allows us to focus on God where we would normally focus on food or other things. Fasting supercharges your prayers. The little rocket is normal prayers. The bigger one is fasting and prayer. There's a big difference when you pray and when you fast. It removes the things that get our focus off of God, and it brings our focus right back to God. Every time you sit down for a meal, every time your stomach would hurt, you spend time praying. Fasting removes doubt. See, when you fast, you take a step of faith, trusting that God will carry you through. It breaks your flesh. It breaks bad habits like overeating. And it moves us into a spiritual focus instead of a world human focus. There's also health benefits to fasting. This book lists like 50 different ones in here. Health benefits. Secular science would say that fasting is good for you. There's health benefits to that. Beyond 14 days, they say that you don't gain any extra health benefits, but your spiritual and meditative benefits are increased. So us as Christians see that as, once you get past a certain point, the spirit-filled worship of God and fasting just increases exponentially. In secular science, you see a lot of intermittent fasting. You hear about that in different health circles around. And if you look it up, there's all kinds of different charts for different ways to fast. You could probably find 15 without looking really hard. But we don't have time today to discuss all the benefits that you may receive. And you can do some research on your own. There's different books out there, different speakers on the internet. How God made our bodies. There are real health benefits to spending time fasting. But before you fast, before you actually, if you want to do a water fast or however you want to fast, before you do that, again, look at your motives. Why are you fasting? Is it to gain something for yourself, or is it to grow closer to God? Make a plan. Yes, you need to make a plan. When are you going to start? When are you going to stop? Is there a point where you're losing too much weight too quickly that you need to stop? Are you too weak? Is there some other issues? See, in the beginning of a water-only fast, you will lose a couple pounds a day. And then you will hit a point where you only lose about a pound a day. In the fasting process, your body goes from sugar-burning mode to fat-burning mode. You're going to feel grouchy. You're going to feel short-tempered. You may get headaches. And then you will begin to level off. Your hunger will start to go away. And this happens around day 3 in a water fast. You may want to consult your doctor before you fast, especially if you're on medications. You probably should talk to your doctor. And in your plan, you need to have steps for breaking your fast. It's just as important of how you're going to break your fast as how you're going to start it. If you do a long fast, like it talks about with Jesus, for 40 days, you're going to have to start with a liquid diet. And then you're going to have to move to soft fruits and then vegetables and back to normal amounts. The rule is, if you fast for 10 days, it should take you 10 days to break your fast or come back up to eating normal foods. Maybe not normal amounts, but normal foods. If you do a 40-day fast like Jesus, it should be 40 days until you're back up to normal foods. It takes discipline. And if you're married, you and your spouse have to be 100% in agreement if you're going to do a long fast or a water fast. If you're not in agreement, this can cause a divide in your relationship. See, the water fast includes abstaining from physical intimacy between a husband and wife. And 1 Corinthians 7:5 says, "Do not deprive each other, except perhaps by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Then come together again, so Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control." My translation says prayer. Some translations say prayer and fasting. Fasting is devoting a specific time to prayer, and that is why fasting is covered in this verse, even though it might not say the word fasting. Fasting is considered part of that prayer time. If you're single and you want to fast, make a plan and give that plan to someone to help monitor your health. You should be weighing yourself, checking your blood pressure if you have an option of doing that. You need to monitor your body while you're fasting. One of the most important things is to monitor how much water you're drinking. You need a lot of water to flush your system. If you had or have an eating disorder, please do not fast by not eating. Find a different way to fast, because it can be detrimental and take you back to places you do not want to go. So here are a few questions about fasting. Is fasting starvation? No, it is not starvation. It is not unless you go beyond 40 days, like David talks about in Psalms 109, 23 to 25. David was so skinny that people didn't really recognize him. He had like no fat on his body at all. They believe that his fast went way, way beyond 40 days. So what do you do when you're fasting and someone asks you why you're not eating? Well, that's always a good question. The Bible tells us not to announce that we're fasting, right? We're kind of supposed to keep it quiet and to ourselves. But if someone asks you, do not tell a lie. Tell them the truth. Just say you're fasting. You don't have to give them any more information than that. Just say you're fasting. But before you go into situations where people might question you, pray to God and ask Him that people will not ask you why you're not eating. They just won't ask you. So is God speaking to you? Is He asking you to fast? If you're thinking that I can't do a water fast, maybe you can do a Daniel fast like Daniel did in Daniel 10. Maybe you can do a social media fast. Do you think you guys can do that for like 30 days, give up social media? They're like, no, we can't do that, Dad. Why are you looking at us? The idea of a fast is to give up something and spend that time with God in prayer. Try fasting for one meal. And you go, okay, it takes about 45 minutes to eat a meal because you just relax and sit there and or whatever. Spend that time with God in prayer. If you're doing a media fast, go on your device and see how many hours you are on your device for a week and divide that up per day and then spend that time in prayer with God. Some of you guys could spend hours and hours in prayer, which would be awesome. If I fast from something, that is good if you spend time in prayer. But unless you're spending time in prayer, there's no difference from the secular world around us. We need to press into God. God is speaking to our hearts. He is calling us every day to come closer to Him. And if He's calling you and you feel this desire to press into God, to come closer to Him, maybe some fasting is in order for you. I'm also going to give you a word of warning. You're entering spiritual warfare territory. In Daniel 10, it tells us the moment that Daniel decided and started praying when he was fasting, that it went up to God and God heard it and he dispatched an angel. But that angel got delayed. It took 21 days before that message came to Daniel. There was spiritual warfare going on and Daniel didn't even know it. Yet Daniel pressed on through his fast. So there's going to be spiritual warfare going on. Be aware of it. Fasting takes discipline, perseverance, yet is worth every moment. Just a note, Pine Grove Church has been fasting the third Friday of each month, searching for vision for their church. If you want to fast like that, you can do that for our church. Pray that God's vision would be revealed and moving in our church here at Bowmansville. So will you join me in prayer this morning? Heavenly Father, speak to us this morning. Do you want us to fast? Father, call us to a deeper relationship with you. Pour out your Spirit on us. Help us to persevere when we fast. We are asking you to give us more of yourself. Reveal more of who you are to us each day. Give us your strength to go and reach out to our community around us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you.
would invite Eugene to come and share.
I'll begin by asking you a question, and I want you to be honest. There's no right or wrong answer. There's no good or bad answer. How many of you like history? Raise your hands. Okay, I see a few. Let me ask you another question. How many of you, if you're of the older generations, enjoy telling a story to the younger ones in your family about how it was in your life, about when they have school canceled because it's flurrying, and you say, oh, when I went to school, I walked up to my knees 2 miles to get to school, you know, that kind of stuff, exaggerate a little bit. Or the younger ones, do you enjoy sitting and listening to stories? Hands up, you like to tell or listen to stories? Well, I thought there'd be more. Well, anyway, guess what? When you're doing that, you are participating in history. History is not all just dry facts and all those things that you had to memorize to pass your test. Next January, yes, it's going to be cold again. So next January of 2022, we will be celebrating 100 years of worship, of study, of activity, of all kinds of things that happened in this building, because on January the 26th, 1922, and to prove to you, I have a picture, and you can't see it from the back, but here it is in this book, dedication service at the new Mennonite Meeting House in Bowmansville. Well, that was 100 years ago. And guess what? Their first sermon was in German. I guarantee you there'll be no German sermons next January. Okay? Now, what we are planning to do is this. Oh, by the way, this is an interesting fact. We have a member here at Bowmansville who I didn't check, but possibly could have been here for that dedication in 1922. And that would be Alan Gaiman. He would have been 4 years old. He could have been here, brought here by his parents. Good possibility. Just an interesting note. See, history can be interesting. Now, we are planning to make a pictorial history book. A lot of you use Shutterfly, that means something to you. You send off and they make a nice hardbound history, whatever, or a book, family, photos, what have you. This is what we're planning to do. Pictures of our church, and that means people. And also the buildings, and I say buildings, we'll have more than just this. We'll have a little bit of the history of the beginnings in our Bowmansville, Brecknock time. And that will include some of the outreach into Reading and the surrounding other churches as part of this district. So what do we need? We need from you pictures, programs, photos of activities, events, all this kind of thing. I have a few that are already given to me. Program of Bowmansville Young People's Meeting. Youth, you don't know anything about that, because they stopped doing it. 1939, Bowmansville Young People's Meeting program. I also have here a picture. She's a grandma today, but here's a picture when she was a teenager at Vacation Bible School. I also have here somebody in 1969 got a Bible school diploma. This is the stuff we're looking for. Another question. For the worship team and anybody, did you know that Bowmansville one time had a band? It did. It didn't have instruments, but we made music. It was called the Christian Worker Band. How many remember the Christian Worker Band? Oh, yeah. Oh, that's a few of them. You older ones, you remember that. The Christian Worker Band, what we did, we went around and we sang at nursing homes and retirement homes, Christmas caroling. A few times went to the Bowery Mission and did things like this. We also then had a special group that included even people beyond the Bonesville area, and they made music. Who was that? A special group that had a leader that made music all around the conference. Voices of Victory, yes. I have a story on Voices of Victory, but I'm not going to tell it now. You'll have to come and ask me. Okay. 1W, youth, young adult, 1W. What's that? It's not another car like VW. I'm not going to tell you what it is. You have to ask your grandpas, and they'll have stories of 1W. Believe me. Claire knows what I'm talking about when I say 1W. So does Ray Good, and so does many others our age. They know about what. So this is history, this is stories. Why is this important? Because these stories tie together with recent past. We just had a story from Rick of recent past of him sitting with a man on the porch in Bowmansville who was screaming and yelling, and he prayed that this man would slowly break down and cry. That's his story of recent past. Now, God is the God of history, presence, and future. So we need pictures even of things that are happening now, from Flowing Waters, from Teens Need Truth, from the before. I just saw in the bulletin before and after a school program is going to begin again. We need pictures and things from then. And best of all, well, not best of all, but another good kids, anybody, the older children, young adults, youth, adults, we have gotten one of the best storytellers that I have ever heard is going to come here and tell stories. And by the way, Rick, I forgot to ask permission, but he's going to do it over Sunday school time. So he's shaking his head. We'll twist his arm. And maybe Helen asked him already. One of the best storytellers is going to come and tell stories of, well, I don't know what all he will be doing. So, this is what we're planning for next January. History is telling the story of God's continuous work. You know, what he put on the hearts of people to start the before and after program, to the Teens Need Truth, to the Flowing Waters. He put on the hearts of some of the farmers around here who went to Reading and saw a great need, and they started churches back in 1920s and 1930s and so forth and so on. So it's still happening today yet. So God is the God of history, the present, and the future. And we can be learning and inspiring. So most of you do not like to sit and read about history. I do, sort of. There's a few of us around here, like Helen Becker and Henry Horning and a few, that get excited about reading and history and facts and so forth. But we all like to see pictures and knowing a little bit what's behind that. So that's why we need them. I want to have more pictures than I can use of all these kind of things. Well, I need to stop. I'm getting too long. Some of you may think I was a preacher at one time.
Thank you, Gene. Gene had mentioned, the before and after school program is starting, and there is a note in your bulletin, and they're looking for help. Can you pray for God to send people? And when you pray that, that might be you as well. So keep the before and after school program in your prayers. I have an update on Ed Ringler. He's doing good after his surgery. They had him up walking around the hallways with his walker. You can keep Ed and Darlene in your prayers. They're very thankful for the prayers that they have received. The peace of God is truly upon them. So thank you for praying for them and holding them up. There's a note in your bulletin. Next Sunday, we're bringing coffee back. It's starting again before Sunday school at 8:30. till Sunday school starts. I have a message about Bible school. They still need help. A pre-K Bible teacher and a pre-K craft helper. They need a Bible teacher, and if a person can only help one or two nights, they don't need to do every night. So pray about that as well. Is God speaking you to stand up and help? I do have one reminder for you that if you're going to talk with people in the overflow area after the service, please be respectful and show love and kindness to them by wearing a mask when you go over and talk to them. So will you stand for the parting benediction? May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. God bless you. Go in peace. Have a great week. You're dismissed.